I want to go through this, what we discussed. This Pasha Shaftim about the Nevuah of the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, Hine there, but take it from Yad Mamish, right? And how does it fit with the reality of today? That we're still in Golas. And so that then, going back to Shad Pasha Shaftim, I said that it depends how you look at it. If you're going to look at the way we always understood things, yes, it's a very big kasha. But if you take the way has put it in context, the way that Rebbe has been teaching us through all the years, then there's only one kasha why we're not responding to the Rebbe's nevuah, but there's no shaila on the Rebbe. So that is basically what I said then. So I want to just put it down the whole thing clearly, right? It's part of this we've spoken a lot of times. Let's add a few points here just to show you very clearly how it works. Okay, so we'll start up with the first example, which we already discussed once or twice, about Matan Torah. So how did the rule is like this. Matan Torah is everywhere. This says this everywhere, and it's, you know, the Rebbe always repeats it. This is a rule. Matan Torah was Mamayil Lamata. What did it mean, Mamayil Lamata? The Gilui Lakus came from above. Hashem brought the Gilui Lakus upon us. That was by Matan Torah. That's what it says in Tanya, Perek Lamed Vav, but that's a basis. Matan Torah was from above. Mamayil Lamata. What is the Chiddush of Meis Mashiach? The Chiddush of Meis Mashiach is going to be that. It's going to be Lamata Lamayla. It's going to come from below. In other words, we through our Avodah are going to bring out this Gilui Lakus which was nisgalah to us by Matan Torah from above. We through our Avodah, through all this man of Golos and everything, we're going to come eventually reach a Meisim Mashiach, and we're going to bring this Lakus Milmata Lamayla through our Avodah. This is the basic difference between Matan Torah and Meis Mashiach. Okay, fine. Now here you have the Sicha of the Rebbe, which comes and asks. Chazal say that when Hashem spoke by the Seres Adibris, every time he said one of the Dibris, Anich Hashem Lakecha, whatever, every one he said, Poruch HaNishmosim, the Yidin had Kolos HaNefesh, right? The Neshamas went out, oozed out, just like that, because Hashem spoke to them. So the Rebbe asks, why did they have Kolos HaNefesh? But mainly when Hashem said to them, Anich Hashem Lakecha, okay, I can understand they had Kolos HaNefesh. When Hashem told them, "Lo signave, you shouldn't steal. Why should they have kolos and nefesh?" It's a very simple.
Those that you hear from Hashem.
So, okay, there's different medrash, right? This is the common, what you're saying now is the common medrash. I think this is the common medrash, because I think Rashi, that's what Rashi brings down. But there's many other medrashim. So the Rebbe is here speaking according to the other medrashim. The different medrashim how it works. Yeah. The Rebbe brings down the sikh.
The Rebbe calls that we heard all.
No. The Rebbe brings out all the different shittas. In this sikh, a particular sikh, the Rebbe is speaking according to that shitta, apparently. Okay. Apparently.
Which we heard all the time.
Yeah. I think the Maimah Chazal, called Dibble, Tibur, Pork, and Eshmosim, would be going according to the shitta that Hashem said all the time. Right. Fine. And but there's different shittas, it's very clear. It's brought down many times. Different shittas and medrashim, etc. Anyways, so now, so they ask, why was Paruch HaNishmosim, why didn't the Neshama go out when they heard the signet? Now, let's remember what's going on over here. So what's the answer? The reason why Paruch HaNishmosim was because they committed themselves with this is the Rebbe's emphasis. With their own bechira, with their own free choice, they committed themselves with such a strong commitment to do what Hashem wants, that all the energy and the fervor they put into that bechira, that caused them to be Paruch HaNishmosim. So what caused them to be Paruch HaNishmosim? Their free choice to commit themselves to the Eibishter with such strength caused the Neshama to go out. Okay, now here comes the question. I don't understand. We told always Matan Torah is Mamayla Lamata. The Gilui Lakus came from above. The Rebbe himself explains, says it actually very clearly in Tanya. They saw Elikus. They heard Hashem's voice. And the Rebbe explains that Hashem was Meskala. Tzias Atzmus was Meskala. The highest Madregas were all there by Matan Torah. And now the Rebbe is telling us, why Paruch HaNishmosim? They're hearing Hashem's voice. So what we see here, we see the general mahalach of the Rebbe. What do we see like this? Is like this. That there's two things. There's mamayla lamata, lamata lamayla. Different ways that we get to identify with the Eibishter. Mamayla lamata or lamata lamayla. But there is a general thing. What is the general thing? Ein egmol vade. Right? There's two ways how we can come to realize Ein egmol vade. either from Lamay Lamata or Lamata Lamay. Yeah? But what are the, we're trying to, in either one, what do we come to see? What do we come to realize? How innate Mavadi. The way we understand Einet Mavadi, we normally understand Einet Mavadi is that there's nothing else besides Eibishter. If there's nothing else besides Eibishter, like we discussed many times, what does that mean? If nothing else besides Eibishter, then what am I? I don't exist. Right? My yesh is the fact that I feel myself as independent being. My mitzias yesh. What does mitzias yesh means? My feeling as an independent being, not independent on someone else, not dependent on someone else. As soon as I come to realize Einet Mavadi, that feeling disappears. My yeshes, my independence, my hergish of independence, it disappears. That's the way we would normally understand it. And that would make perfect sense, right? Because if Einet Mavadi, how can it be independent? There's nothing else besides him. So we've learned this many times. No. That Einet Mavadi does not mean that I don't have my independence. That means my yeshes, my feeling of independence, my free choice. Free choice means there's nothing there dictating my choice. I'm choosing freely, nothing there influencing my choice. My independence, my free choice, all remains completely intact. The way I know myself today remains intact. Nevertheless, I'm aware of Einet Mavadi. What does that mean? Einet Mavadi means that I'm aware the reason why I have a free choice and the reason why I feel myself as an independent existence is not a contradiction at all to the Eibishter. The Eibishter is clearly, often logically speaking, it is clearly a contradiction. Now, if I'm independent, how can it be Einet Mavadi? Nevertheless, what is this is we've learned many times, what the Rebbe teaches Einet Mavadi means? Einet Mavadi is my independence is not a stereotelicus. And on the contrary, I remain independent. I will always have this feeling of independence. I'll always have this feeling that I have free choice. And this free, I'm going to have a second awareness, let's say, a second awareness that this free choice and this independence, because I feel myself as independent being, is created by the Eibishter, is being sustained by the Eibishter. We went through that many times. Fine. Now, this type of thinking, this is also we've gone through. This type of thinking that my feeling of independence is not a stira to Einet Mavadi makes no sense. There's no way it makes no sense. In other words, what do we mean when we say it makes no sense? Once upon a time, everything the Rebbe says was already said in Chassidus. Anything the Rebbe said about Rikus was said already in Chassidus. But once upon a time, when we thought about Chassidus, we thought about Einet Mavadi. What was it? What was it? There's only one. When you think about Einet Mavadi, you cannot think that when you want to understand, meditate, and be on Einet Mavadi, you cannot incorporate the idea that there's nothing else besides the Eibishter. But the fact that I currently now feel myself as independent and not part of the Eibishter, that is a stira to the Eibishter. That would logically. So when I say Einet Mavadi, what do I mean? There's two things I can mean. I mean that when I'm davening, I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about the Eibishter. Okay, that point, when I'm davening, I can be aware of the Eibishter. And if I can keep that awareness after davening into my day of work, I'll be aware of the Eibishter in work also, because I'm thinking about the Eibishter, not by myself, right? When I'm only, okay, then I can think about Einet Mavadi. Oh, the other way is, when the whole world, in every aspect of life, we will realize Einet Mavadi, at that point we won't feel ourselves independent beings. We'll feel that everything's come from the Eibishter. Okay, there again I can have Einet Mavadi. There's two ways. Either when I'm not thinking about myself, I'm just dumbing, thinking about the Eibishter, that's when I can engage the idea of Einet Mavadi. Or the other way to engage the idea of Einet Mavadi is also love, when the whole world will come to realize the Eibishter. But me, when I'm thinking about myself as an independent being, and I have the feeling of yeshes, and I feel that at that point I should be aware of Einet Mavadi. I'm not aware. I'm denying Einet Mavadi because I'm thinking, I'm giving legitimacy to my own existence. So I'm not really aware of Einet Mavadi. So that's very clear, right? Come that the way logic, that would logically be. That means with all the learning chassidus, everything you learn in chassidus, everything you learn about Einet Mavadi, it will always be true. But remember, The moment I'm not learning chassidus, the moment I'm thinking about myself, at that point I'm contradicting, I'm not accepting, I'm not identifying with chassidus. I'm not identifying with chassidus when I'm thinking about myself. Comes the Rebbe and tells us, no, at that point when I'm thinking about myself, that is also not a stira to the Eibishter. That's also not a stira to the Eibishter. How can you say such a thing? So this is the nekuda that this is the nekuda. This does not make logical sense. What is the thing? The fact is this it, the fact is, in our days, look what's going on. We most of our lives, we conduct our lives with a feeling about ourselves. We with a haggard, you know, we feel ourselves. And look at what's going on. And the world, how the world is going according to the plan of the Eibishter. So we see that when I'm doing things from my free choice, and I look what's going on. The goyim feel they're doing things about their free choice. And now most of us feel that we're doing things of our free choice, with our free choice. We're not feeling that we do not feel that we're being conducted by the Eibishter. We're doing things from our own choice. And nevertheless, with everything we're doing with our own, from our own choice, look what's going on, the world is leading to. The world is leading to the mili of the kvona, the fulfillment of the kvona of the Eibishter. So we see right there that my hergesh hayesh, my feeling, my free choice is not a stirrut to einet muvade. So the only way I can come to realize this nekuda, that when I'm engaging myself as an independent entity, I'm not thinking of myself as being dependent on the Eibishter. That is also the Eibishter. The only way is because the only way is when in our days, when we see how the world is changing and transforming and going along with Abraham's plan, we come to realize this. Once upon a time, when everything in the world was most part of the world was going against Abraham, for the person to identify with any little body would be either in two ways, by not thinking about the world, but thinking about the Abraham in davening, or by imagining how we'll be in Mesa Mashiach. But you couldn't imagine Eidim Bavadeh with him. And to this Nekud of the Rebbe, that we as independent existences, without recognizing the Eibishter, are also actually being, that is not a stira to the Eibishter. Because the fact is, we see that goes according, even then, things go according to the plan of the Eibishter. That is only something we can come to realize from reality of life. It does not make sense, and reality proves it to us, and that's what this is what we see today. Therefore, what's in the, so let's go back to the point. When it comes to what an akuda is, the way it works is that so let's put it in these words. The way it works is, in general, Chassidus tells us there is echod, there's yochid. These are all different madregas of how the Eibishter of Einid Mavadi. Echod, Yochid. Then there's above that Etzem. There's Etzem. What Etzem? Okay. Now the Rebbe is telling us. Chassidus has described to us what Echod is, what Yochid is. Etzem is something we don't know. That's whatever. Above description. This Eibishter is above description. We today can realize. Why can we realize it? Because remember, we see how the Eibishter is going. That is what we mentioned many times. The meaning of chibur of hapchim. That the fact that I'm going as independent from my own bechira, I'm doing things the way I want. Or people in the world are doing things the way they want. And nevertheless, the whole of the of the Eibishter is being fulfilled. So therefore, we come to see that even the Mitzias HaYash, when we don't recognize the Eibishter, that is also the Eibishter, and that is the Chibur HaHopchim, and therefore, that is the Etzem above Echad and Yochid, that the Eibishter is not recognized as one entity, is Etzem, even as two entities, the Nivra is a separate entity, that is also goes along with the Eibishter. The Nivra going, doing things, his own free choice, he's really doing it on his own free choice, he is actually doing it on his own free choice, and nevertheless, that is going according to the corner of the Eibishter. And that is something which is the Etzem, the Chibur HaHopchim, this is something which we realize today, only from reality. Now, therefore, so based on this, this gives a whole a new understanding about the Eibishter Bechlal. This understanding is not something we can acquire from understanding, it's something acquired from the reality of life today. And what is that? That till now, whenever we thought about Echod or Yochid, we would exclude the Nivra. The Nivra is not, the Yesh of the Nivra does not existence. And now, no, when we talk about the Eibishter, we don't have to exclude the Metzius of the Nivra. Therefore, so let's go back. Let's take it the way the Rebbe talks about the Neshama the neshama as it is above, before the neshama comes down to this world. The Rebbe explains the chassidus that the neshama, when it's the reason the person has the koyach abchira, which the person has, where did it come from? That comes from the etzem neshama. The koyach abchira, the person, free choice, that comes from the etzem neshama. It's a very powerful koyach to have free choice. That's the way it comes from etzem neshama. So nevertheless, Chassidus says, even though the chira comes from etzem neshama, the neshama itself, the etzem neshama there, when it's above by the Eibishter, he does not need chira in order to connect with the Eibishter. He naturally connects with the Eibishter. Again,
well, what's up? They still has a
b'chira. The b'chira, the fact.
You mentioned all the share that in the.
This coming the once. Yeah, that's what we're going to say right now. So what are we saying? We're saying the fact that we have free choice. That's coming from etzem neshama. But the neshama up there, pheasants, the neshama up there, even though the free choice is coming from the neshama up there, the neshama doesn't need the free choice. He only uses it, it's only used when it comes down here. There doesn't need the free choice, it cleaves onto the Abish, and naturally, because it's there with Abish. Comes the Rebbe and says, no. The neshama there is also the reason why it's cleaving onto the Abish, is because it chooses to cleave onto the Abish. Why is the Rebbe saying that?
It's easier to choose for
him. What?
It's easier to choose for her.
What do you mean? No, in other words, that's free choice. It's free choice. You could have chosen otherwise. Why is the Rebbe saying that? Because the Nekudah is that the way we understand Echod as Einad Movade, and therefore nothing else exists. So the Rebbe is trying to tell us, no, Echod means, does not mean nothing else exists. That what Echod means, and that what Yochid means. But Etzem means above definition of Echod and Yochid. And what do they mean above definition of Echod and Yochid? That means there may be everything, there may be many things, but everything independent, this is the word, you have to have it, everything independently, in its naturally, in its default state, everything, let's say there's an Eibishter, and there's many other things. Everything on its default state chooses to recognize that his whole mitzvah is only the Eibishter. Do you hear this word? This free, the way it works, the natural state of the neshama is that the neshama feels itself as independent mitzvah, and it feels itself that it has a free choice. That's a whole word that I was saying. It's not something which comes to be realized only here when it comes down in the goof. The way it's understood from Chassidus and generally that it's something which is realized only when it comes to the goof. The source where it is coming from, says Chassidus, is coming from the Etzem Hashem. But it's realized over here. Said the Rebbe, no, it's realized over there also. Why? Because the Eibishter is one, not only because there's nothing else, because everything else on its independent. But what?
That's before Tzimtzum.
We talk before Tzimtzum, yeah, before everything. We talk about Atzmus.
Before Tzimtzum should be only.
So we're talking about Echod. Echod is before the Tzimtzumim. Yochid is before the Tzimtzumim. And we're talking about Etzem, which is above Echod and above Yochid. It's way up. We're going to say that with the Tzimtzum. We're above everything. Only the Eibishter.
So how could he answer?
The Vod, the way, this is the whole Vod, the way, and even understand the Eibishter. The only way we can understand the Eibishter, we can envision the Eibishter in our mind, is Echot, Yochid. And you can be misplaying, you try to be mitzari in your mind, in your Echot and Yochid. That's the way we can understand the Eibishter. Says it ever, but the Mitzvah says the Eibishter is not limited in the get of Echot, he's not limited in the get of Yochid. But maybe there can be an Eshoma as a separate entity, and everything as a separate entity comes to recognize its own mitzvahs as Eibishter. So what is the Eibishter? So in this description, what is the Eibishter? Without description, the Eibishter has no description. We tend out in order to identify with the Eibishter, we have to, there's an Eibishter. The only way we can get to describe ourselves to ourselves, the Eibishter, is by saying that he's Echot or Yochid. Different madregas. But the truth, not forget about the Neshama. No, they're talking about the Eibishter. The Eibishter is not, that is the only our way of describing the Eibishter. The Eibishter himself has no description. What is the description of the Eibishter? How do we come to recognize the Eibishter? What way? The fact that everything from its own free choice, as an independent being, a free choice, I can choose this way or choose that way, will absolutely only choose the Eibishter. That is the true state. What is the Eibishter? I don't know what the Eibishter is. The Eibishter is, I have no idea. What is the only identification with Eibishter I have? That everything from its own free choice chooses to recognize Eibishter. That is, what is the idea of Chibura Hopkin? Chibura Hopkin means I don't know what he is. I just know that everything as independent Metzias chooses only the Eibishter, which that makes totally no sense. If he has free choice, why would he choose only the Eibishter? And the fact is that way, and that is the Eibishter. The fact that everything chooses Eibishter. That is Etzem. So now...
So now...
Very good. So the Rebbe says that is the true state of the Neshama. The Neshama is an independent existence which chooses to... That chooses to recognize there's nothing else besides the Eibishter.
Well, she sees it.
No. So again, so that I've done.
She sees it.
No, because you're already talking about. No, the way that I've said what prompts the shaman to choose the Eibishter is not its seeing; it's a higher force. That what's a higher force? That everything in its actual state, in its core state, identifies with the Eibishter or from its own choice, not because it's a. When I say see the Eibishter, that means I see the Eibishter. So I'm affected by what I see. That would not be me identifying with Eibishter. That means I'm affected. That would be like Matan Torah. Hashem showed himself to us, and therefore my neshama oozed out to the Eibishter.
If you see good thing, you see bad thing, you're choosing good thing because it's a good thing.
So the Rebbe says what prompts the neshama is not because he has a choice, it's not because he sees, because that would be the influence of the Eibishter on him. It's because in its default state, every Metzias, any Metzias which ever can be, or ever will be, or ever was, in its true default state, identifies as a Negam of Adi. And that is what
Neshama... Identifies. What is identifies for the, what the Eibishter means? But for the Neshama?
What? I'm sorry?
What identifies for the Neshama means? It's what does it mean for her?
Okay. There is no meaning to this. It's the absolute state. Like the absolute state of what we know is that this is an existing table, right? That's absolute. That's no. Until you break it, this table.
You could see it, you could feel it.
That
affects you.
Yeah.
The Rebbe is telling us.
So now, the Rebbe is telling us the absolute state of everything, every table, every person, everything is recognizing the Eibishter. Without a reason, without seeing, without smelling, without it, and that is the default state of everything. It's recognizing that.
Kabbalah Soul, you mean?
That would be above the Kabbalah Soul, meaning that would be above, more powerful. This Kabbalah Soul would be powerful, more powerful than Seichel and seeing. It's an absolute. It's my etymology.
Kabbalah Soul without any.
It's a choice. I choose to recognize, and that is from its
inspiration. Not because I see it, not because of this.
Here we're talking about before Hashem said, we're talking about Eibishter before Hashem, before any communication, the absolute state, the Eibishter, and the Eibishter Neshama, let's say, it says in Chassidus, the Neshama in Atzim Simhus, right? Hashem is Atzim Simhus, Torah and Yisrael are in Atzim Simhus. So the Rebbe explains what would mean Yisrael and Atzim Hus. And Atzim Hus would mean the Neshama as an independent Metzias choosing nature. That means the one and two Ba'asas, one and two, plural, singular plural, Ba'asas, two opposites. But the Eibishter is not two opposites. That's Chibra Hopkin. That means there's no definition to the Eibishter. The only way we can define with Eibishter, we can come to recognize the Eibishter by understanding that everything naturally chooses on its own will to accept the Eibishter, and that is the way we understand. That is the highest of understanding of the Eibishter.
Does it help you that the table chooses the Eibishter?
No, one second. What is according to this understanding of the Rebbe? Let's get to that. What is Bria Sa'olam? Bria Sa'olam was made through a tzimtzum. This tzimtzum, the Eibishter removed from the table, from the Neshama, from everything, this natural identification, that they should naturally identify with the Eibishter from their own free choice. The Eibishter removed it from them. They don't recognize what they lost recognition of their own identification with the Eibishter, and that is the symptom. So that's how we see things now. We don't recognize. So what is our true state? What's the true state of everything? Recognizing the Eibishter. That's why we said we learned this many times. We made some shift. The Eibishter says everything's going to be there. The horse is always going to be there. It's just going to recognize its whole mitzvah. Just to not, we should not be eaten. The horse, he will recognize, the horse will recognize, everyone will recognize what is the mitzvah of the horse, and we should not eat it. So, but it's going to stay there, everything's going to stay there. So that, if everything's going to return to its absolute state. So therefore, when it comes to Matan Torah, let's go back to Matan Torah. Why Hashem said, why did the Rebbe say that the Gilui of Elikus was because the Yidden chose to accept what Hashem was saying? Why did the Rebbe say they chose? Because the way it works is Gilui Likus is the way the Rebbe explains is the fact that everything recognizes Abraham. So what we're talking about Matan Torah? Mefedish Mamaila Matter. We're not talking about it's Mefedish Mamaila Matter. What was Mamaila Matter that the Yidden came from their own free choice to the Abish had staged? In other words, put it this way, the Abish had staged Matan Torah. They were in a midbar and they heard the coil of the Abish. All this thing brought them to from their own free choice to choose the Abish. So the fact it came from their own free choice does not take away from the Mamaila Matter, because the way it works, according to the Rebbe, that from the very beginning, let's go back to the very beginning. Atzmus Umhus is that everything reacts to Atzmus Umhus. So even when you talk about Matan Torah, which is the Mamaila Matter, coming from the Eibishter, what does it mean coming from the Eibishter? That everything has its opportunity to react to the Eibishter. After Matan Torah, or before Matan Torah, when in Zman HaGolos, we don't react to the Eibishter. The Eibishter, we don't react. Matan Torah was reacted. So therefore, the Nekuda is, what we have over here is, therefore, so what do you have over here? That the Metzias, okay, now let's go to the Nevuah. Basically, we come to realize that the Gilui of the Eibishter means, what is the Gilui of the Eibishter? So what, and this is the definition, we're going to have it seen, this is what the Rebbe says, we're still going to see, in other words, how the Rebbe says this thing, this idea, in other words, what is the mitzvahs of the Eibishter according to this? My awareness that I have to do what he says. My choice to commit myself to the Eibishter. That is the mitzvahs of the Eibishter, right? That's the only way I can identify with him, because he has no description at all. So therefore, what was the Rebbe saying by this Nevuah? By this Nevuah, the Rebbe is saying that you should know what is the Inyan of God. The mitzvahs of Golos is when it's a Yid, to tell a Yid, you should know that your whole mitzvahs is just to do what the Eibishter wants, right? So when you have the situation goes, when you're very restricted and come to identify that the Gilui Likus means that I can do everything what the Eibishter wants, being in goals when I'm sitting in a ghetto to identify with the fact that I can do everything the Eibishter wants, it's not a normal Yid, cannot identify with it. The Rebbe says, Hini therefore take it from Yad Mamish. What the Rebbe is saying is now everyone has the ability to identify with that, they can do what the Eibishter wants. But it depends now on our free choice to identify with that, what the Rebbe is saying. So that's basically it. So what the Nekuda is, it starts going back from the very, very beginning. It starts the way we understand the Eibishter. Do we understand the Eibishter as Einel Avadi and I'm excluded? My Mitzias does not exist. Or do we understand Einel Avadi means that my Mitzias exists and I choose to identify with Eibishter? If Einel Avadi means that my Mitzias exists and I choose to identify with Eibishter. So therefore, when the Rebbe says, Hine Zebo, so the Rebbe said, that means that every opportunity, once upon a time in God's man of God, it was hard to demand from a Yid to come to identify that he can do what everything the Eibishter wants. Tzadikim could identify with that. But Stam Yidin couldn't. It was too much to ask. Now the Rebbe is saying, this Inyan, what's going to happen in Zman HaGula, is now available that everyone can identify. It still remains on us our free choice to identify with it, but so there's not really, so that's basically now. So this is been a gay in a voice. The whole idea is this is a general mahalak with Rebbe has everywhere. It goes in the Sikh of the Mamorim of Rebbe everywhere that the Inyan of Atzmus is that he includes the Metzias and Nivra identifying with the Eibishter. That was the Metzias Atzmus, not that he's excluding the Metzias and Nivra. Okay. So now. Now let's go over just to connect it to the to give it some examples how this works when it comes to the Inyan, let's say of tshuva, of the Bitam Dam, the Sarasmik Tshuva. Just show how does this affect this, like show how this thinking changes the way we look at the way the Rebbe describes tshuva. Now there's many ways, there's many, many details in this. We'll just take two points. The way it works in there's a pi halacha and a pi chassidus. The way tshuva al pi halacha is that it has three components. Kabbalah al-haba. Kabbalah al-haba means I have to do what the Eibishter wants. I accept upon myself from now on. Till now, I didn't do everything what the Eibishter wants. From now on, I'm going to do what the Eibishter wants. That's one thing. The other thing is I have to regret everything. Rechorata al-ava. And the third thing is vidui. To say vidui. These three components in the Rambam, these make up tshuva. You want to do
the includes.
I'm sorry?
What the
video
includes,
Hapi Allah. Hapi Allah, video would include, to be Yoitze, it's just enough to say Chotosi. I sinned. That would be video. The more Mahuda is to actually say specifically what Avera I did. But, you know, sometimes in Kippur, it's only had 24 hours. So, so now, that's Hapi Allah. The definition of tshuva. Now the Ratzemach Tzedek is mazbe in the midst of tshuva that your kabbalah al haba, your acceptance to do what the Eibishter wants, is based on your chorotan. However much you regret, that's how much you're going to accept. Right? Here comes now. This goes exactly in this mahalach of this mahalach of the Rabbi. You're going to see this mahalach. Actually, we had this mahalach on the sikh we spoke last week, Tovei. But now you're going to see it right now in tshuva. Comes the Rebbe and says, even though normally you would think that my acceptance for the Kabbalah al-Haba would be dependent on my Chorot al-Haba, and therefore in order to do tshuva, I would need both. Rebbe says, no. The essence of the shleimus of tshuva, you need this. The essence of tshuva, that you should switch from the being called a Rosh to a Tzaddik. All you have to do is decide that I'm from now on going to do the right thing. Now the question comes, how can the Rebbe say they just decided to do the right thing? That is enough. If I don't regret the past, how strong can be my decision to do the right? I don't regret the past, and my decision for the future is going to be a real firm commitment. So this is in the Kudu of the Rebbe. If you want to, based on this thinking, what is the Metzias of the Eibishter? What are the Metzias? You have Echod. That's one description. A higher description is Yochid. What is the Etzem of the Eibishter? Etzem of the Eibishter, that everyone obeys Eibishter. That I obey the Eibishter. That's the Etzem of the Eibishter. Yeah? So therefore, what is the first, the strong, what is the Nekud of Tshuva? I am now going to obey the Eibishter. Sure, if you want to have the Tshuva with more, that's the first point of Tshuva. Now you want to strengthen the Tshuva. Yeah, if you regret the past, it will help you in the decision for the future. But what are the Tshuva? I'm going to do what the Eibishter wants. This is reflects on this thing, with the way the Rebbe looks at what are the Eibishter. The Eibishter is me listening to the Eibishter. So now, take the same thing, just take it the way it mentions the Chassidus. And Tanya explains, what is this Tshuva Ilah? You know, going to the highest madrega of tshuva now. Tshuva Eloi, what's a tshuva Eloi? It says, like the story of Elos ben Dodaya, that he, in one moment, he came to tshuva Eloi, and why was his, and he's, and mokum shabbat tshuva's aimed in ancient dikim murim yichen olamid. But tshuva is a tzaddik woman cannot reach. Why? Because it explains in Tanya, Perek Zayin, because when tzaddik woman, a tshuva has such regret from what happened in the past, is all these avedis. He's so painful. He's avedis. So his fervor and his strength in committing himself to the Eibishter, in returning to the Eibishter, his desire to cleave to the Eibishter is much stronger than the tzaddik because of his bad past that pushes him to cleave onto the Eibishter with greater strength than the tzaddik. That's what it says in Tanya. That's how everyone knows. He comes to Rebbe and says, this is very clear. The Rebbe explains it to many, many places. It's very, very clear. No, what pushes about, that's one way of understanding it. But the main thing is something else. What is it? That decision that he decides to commit himself to the Eibishter, forget about the past. That because he's making a new decision, this new decision, to make a new decision, to change with such, to completely change my pattern of life, to decide, requires such fervor. That is why I'm greater than the tzaddik, because of the chiddush which I'm doing over here. It's not because of the regret of the past, but because of the chiddush. So here again, you see what the Rebbe is bringing out. Where the greatest scholars dafke in committing, not on something which has a logical basis behind it, the charata, not that, not echad, not yachid. The etzim just doing what the Eibishter wants. Now, now let's go. That is tshuva. How the Rebbe brings out the nekuda of tshuva, brings out this nekuda in tshuva. Then there's something above that. What is this above that? That's Kabbalah Samalchus. Now, there's tshuva. There's three things. There's Kima Mitzvahs, tshuva, and Kabbalah Samalchus. Now, after we explain that tshuva is, do I now accept to do what the Eibishter wants? That's tshuva. What can be higher than that? Kabbalah Samalchus. Why is Kabbalah Samalchus higher? So what's Kabbalah Samalchus?
It's included in Kabbalah Samalchus.
What? So what's Kabbalah Samalchus? Tshuva is, why? Because tshuva is, I'm thinking about myself. I'm from now on, even the way that I've explained it, it's not regretting. It's no, not that, it's just deciding to do what the Eibishter wants. But what is it? It's my decision to do what the Eibishter wants, right? That's what tshuva is. I'm changing my way, I'm going to do what the Eibishter wants. Okay. Kabbalah Samalchus is, I have to do what he is, I like to put it in the Rebbe's words, Ani levreis l'sham sheskeini. What does Ani levreis l'sham sheskeini mean? I have no, my whole existence has no meaning. The whole value of my existence is doing what the Eibishter wants. So here I'm not speaking about myself. There's a melech here. When the melech is there, nothing exists. The only thing which exists, do what he wants. So tshuva means I'm recognizing myself. Kabbalah Samalchus is, I do what he wants. So now just to show how this works. I give you several examples of this Kabbalah Samalchus. You have like one thing the Rebbe says. The Rebbe says, there's moide becomes before ani. This is the sikh of Pasha told me that first thing is, before I recognize myself, I'm committed, I'm moide to the Eibishter. Or there's another thing, there's another description that Rebbe says, usually says, there's hafotzes mayonos chutzah. Hafotzes mayonos chutzah, which means there's a mayon, the source spreads out, and chutzah, it spreads out to all the outside. So what would be the first? First thing would be the source. Mayon would be spreading out, the second thing. And third thing, reaching out the chutzah. The Rebbe says, no, the first thing is the hafotzah. Before the source, before the me, where everything is coming from, there's what I have to do. There's the shamish is kaini. Let's do what I have to do, comes before me. Where did this fit in logic? Fits in logic is, what is the metzias of a person? To be, I should exist, or should accomplish? So the Rebbe is saying, the metzias of a person is, accomplish more than the value of my own existence. There is my metzias, which pushes me to accomplish. That has more a value to me than my own existence. Okay? And that is Kabbalah Samalchus. Truth is, I'm thinking about myself. Kabbalah Samalchus, Rebbe is saying, come to realize that what is our metzias? What are the metzias of a yid? Is to accomplish. And therefore, what is the get of gula? The get of gula, tshuva is a preparation to gula. Tshuva first, before, in order to have the gula, you have to have tshuva. What is the gula? Kabbalah Samalchus. What is Kabbalah Samalchus? That change your life, change everything around us. And the Rebbe says, by human, we usually understand that human being is doing, being, considering his own existence first, and then second comes what he does. No, the Rebbe says the true essence of a yid, true essence of a human being is what? His desire to accomplish. And that is it. And that is Kabbalah Samalchus. Okay, so we'll leave it at that, okay? Everyone has it. So the Nekud of the Rebbe is, we realize it, but we come to Rebbe saying, come to bring it out. Realize the only thing today which is missing today, your ability to accomplish is bleak. You have to realize that this, it's only you come to realize that this is what you really want. You want to come in contact with yourself and come to realize that what are your materials before your own yeshes comes your desire to accomplish. And that is what we have to come to realize. With realizing that, we bring it out in ourselves, and that's okay. We'll bring the good. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you to you.